Check 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Moose Turd Cafe.
Breakfast is served.
It's Wednesday, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Happy Wednesday, everybody.
And, hey, buddy.
Another day, another offensive statement by the orange shit stain called 45. Yep. All right, everybody, here's your original dusty-footed philosopher and host, Mr. John Case, with his sometimes sidekick and almost incredibly not really having a grip on reality, Mr. Mike Diesel.
Running barefoot across the desert here. Okay, yeah. Well, this morning, special, and we're going to be having here in the Moose Turd Cafe. We're going to serve you up a special soup. And what it has is that it's called a combination of abortion, disease.
Save the baby guns! Save the baby guns! Save them! Save them! Save the guns! Save the guns!
You know, and it's caused by... by Obama trade deals. That's what brought you this soup here. It turns out if you don't have manufacturing, that you have more abortions.
Everyone else is wrong but mine. Everyone else, I blame every... What? Who? Hey, he knew what he was getting into.
Hey, yeah, you know, Obama...
That's what you say to a gold star widow. He knew what he signed up for. He actually said that.
Well, he's such a, you know, I mean, we don't need to go any further for, you know, idiotic, ridiculous, reactionary, fascist, blubbering than the President of the United States.
Highest taxes.
I see the love affair with for Trump and his Republicans, who he's been, you know, allegedly skewering, is alive and well. You know, they loved the tax cut, and I see McCain has also been conned into it, or so they say. And so we're going to get our, we're going to get completely screwed, you know. I heard...
For now,
tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm. For now.
I know. When are we going to be able to have our own show trials, you know, and take the first 10 billionaires, sentence them to, a treasonous sentence, carry it out in front of the White House, and then as a, you know, when are we going to have that?
Sentence them to 65 hours a week as a fast food service worker for 3 years.
Well, I mean,
they have to live in a small one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And right. They cannot have a car.
No way.
And they have to their job has to be at least 15 miles from their home, and they have to figure out a way to get to the job on time, and they have to have one child that they have to be responsible for.
Let me ask you a question.
That requires medication.
Let me ask you a question, Mike. If you went into a McDonald's and were served up a breakfast sandwich by the, you know, current president, would you eat it?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No.
So I don't know.
If there was a film running in the back that would be produced digitally and displayed at the front with his supervisor, you know, right over his shoulder, walking him through the process of prepping the food. Sure.
Yeah.
If I could see what I was going to consume, I mean, even though it's crap anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's all processed crap anyway. I don't have a tendency to eat at McDonald's. I haven't.
Right.
As I told you.
No, I haven't. Yeah, I know.
In our little drive there, I think we've eaten at McDonald's. Once, I believe, maybe twice, and the twice was probably shakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that.
But their shakes
kind of feel.
Do they have ice cream in their shakes? Because the last time I had one, I felt that I was drinking, one of those
good,
chemicals they used to wash down mescaline with.
It wasn't
Wasn't very good.
Because a strychnine would get you, you know. I mean, and so you had to have something.
I was started to be afraid as I drank it that my dentures would melt.
I know, man. I know. I can't say anything good about McDonald's shakes, but you know.
Well, John, I've been plugging the show.
Oh, go! Well, good.
I've been telling folks to log on, and there's been some people that have been giving me some thumbs up about some of my Facebook posts.
All right.
Some people that have been very upset about my Facebook
posts. Of course, yes.
I know. Whatever. I know.
Well, that's good, man, because yesterday I was over at the Folly, and there was a gathering there of, Mark Coates, who used to be calling all the time, you know, when I was on the... women were on the Shepherd program,
right,
and
right.
And we had
on that station of which we do not speak.
Yeah, and the other guy who used to run the I always forget his name. He talks all the time. He had a jazz program. He also got thrown off. You know, Colin. You know, remember Colin?
Colin, yeah.
You know, he was there, and everybody was around, and they all been listening to the Moose Turd Cafe, and man, I told them, you know, the call in line now works for multiples. You know, I'm using Skype. Again, so can I
just say something? Can I?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I'm going to use a quote from Highlander.
Uh-oh.
And the Kurgan. Uh-oh. At last, the gathering.
Right. Anyway, they were all getting a kick.
Agreement, Murdoch. Remember our agreement, Murdoch. The boy is mine.
The Kurgan. I know. Well, who was that actor? He was great in that.
Clancy Brown, man.
Is that
Clancy
his name?
Brown.
Wow, he was great, man.
He trained for months.
Did he?
Him and Christopher Lambert trained for months on those swords.
Oh, wow.
They were taken, you know, they practiced and practiced. Every scene was rehearsed down to the very infinitesimal movement of the sword.
Wow.
And when you see Clancy Brown spin that sword.
Yeah.
From one wrist to the other, he's actually really doing that.
Wow. Okay. Well.
That
okay.
That is not CGI. That was a technique that
they taught him.
He began to. Well, I mean, wow. At that time, he's a very large human.
Yeah, he was a big guy. Yeah.
He's a big guy. Yeah. I mean, he's still a fantastic character actor, but he's also found a life in voiceover, of course, for digital production games and even to cartoons and so on and so forth. And he was actually recently on the now defunct TV show from Fox, Sleepy Hollow.
Oh,
he played
yeah.
a sheriff on Sleepy Hollow.
Oh.
That was tragically killed. Who kept reappearing. So it was interesting.
Clancy Brown is his name, huh? That's
Clancy
his name.
Brown.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
okay.
him and you know,
he'd be a good character in the cafe.
I'm going to take a Frenchman and turn him into a Scot, who is a Highlander.
The Highlander.
Nice to see you again, Kurgan. Who does your hair?
I am in disguise. Holy ground, Highlander! Remember what Ramirez taught you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I can't. I know every line in the movie. My brother and I watched it over and over and over again. We wore that.
Oh, yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ben and I watched it 10, 15 times, too. Yeah. Yeah.
You have the manners of a goat, and you smell like a dung heap. You have no knowledge whatsoever of your potential. Now get out!
Okay.
You said you were an Egyptian. You're a liar. I can't stop. I gotta... All right, let me get a hold of myself here.
Anyway. Yeah, get a hold of yourself,
voices.
Buddy. Get a hold of yourself.
Too many voices, man! It's the voices!
Oh, no.
You
know, I just stopped Windows from doing an update on the computer because it would have interrupted us all here. You know, they won't. You know, now that I got scared, right, because of the ransomware virus. Okay, because I was stopping the updates because they would sit there and run right in the middle of the program sometime, right?
Oh boy. anyway.
And so I stopped him by calling my program a metered connection, which made them stop for some reason. And then along came the ransomware thing, and I said, oh my God, you know, so if something gets on my machine and encrypts every file, I'll have to reinstall the whole operating system, right? So I gave it up. But now I'm back, and I'm getting these annoying...
Something else is running to update.
Windows will update automatically, you know, if you don't figure out a way to make it not do it, and then it just reboots the machine for you.
It's like coming back and disciplining software. I told you.
Yeah, I told you.
Stop this.
I know it's the machine trying to pressure you. Create all kinds of pressure.
I'm sorry, John. We don't understand the command. I'm sorry, John. Please, take this update and enjoy.
Dave. Oh, Dave. Dave, why are you doing this? Why are you powering me off?
Dave. That's going to be very dangerous for this ship, Dave.
I think Dave is one of the cooks in the Moose Turd Cafe, actually.
He's been hiding in plain sight.
Yes. Behind the scenes, as usual. Yes. Who else?
Wow.
Who else would hire Hannibal Lecter to come design your menu?
You know, we like to give people a second chance.
I know.
It's not like we can't outfit his cell with some really, really top shelf, you know, chef equipment.
Yes, it is. It's tough. It's very tough. Okay, it's time to do the news, buddy. I'm going to read you a headline. Okay.
And, prior to you doing the news,
man. Oh, Dr. Lecter, yes. What is the specialty we should be considering today?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh no.
However, I'm sure you'll enjoy the spices this morning.
I think your food needs a lot of spices, actually, Dr. Lecter.
I don't know where he went, man. Sometimes he just, he's a floater, man. That guy, he just floats in, provides commentary, and then leaves very quickly. So, I don't get it. I wish he'd hang out a little bit. I mean, I know you had that one interview with him a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, we did, yeah.
But. Just seems like he just, he would prefer to just stop by, make a comment, and then leave.
I know. Well, you know, I think I always welcome Dr. Lecter into the
well,
cabinet.
Well, maybe less is more.
Yeah, right. Okay.
which reminds me.
Uh-oh.
There's probably people out there with the name Les Moore. Right.
In Portland, Oregon, a Marine attacked an Iraqi restaurant. His family has said he was provoked by trauma, not hate, and that he needed help, not jail.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, we're not, you know, we're cutting all that. We're cutting all the, you know.
Yeah, that's right. The subsidies, all that stuff. Yeah, right.
All that stuff. That's all. Yeah.
I hear Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray are still trying to push their some kind of, you know,
compromise. Yes.
We'll see whether that.
You know the thing that I cut, I'm all for not cutting it. What?
Yeah.
I thought you just cut that.
Yeah, I mean, the Trump's. You can't listen. I pay no attention whatsoever to you know what he says as being serious or not. I mean, there's no way to tell, and so just I don't ignore it because it is puke every day. Puke.
Yeah.
All right.
There's another orange shit stain.
Yeah.
Every day.
Undigestible garbage. You know, and it's just maybe we should have a truck at the back of the White House and just haul up the remains, and and use it as our in our morning omelet here. Man. I'm going to give you enough.
Well, you know, I would just say, hey, everybody, come on down to the Moose Turd Cafe. Now completely free of eggs. Come on down.
Yeah, right. Enough okra to choke you.
We have an egg-free omelet. What?
We have an egg-free human.
You know, I just think we have to start at this point now, for now on, because it is so popular for people to go, fake news. Fake news. I'm just going to respond by fake president. Fake president. That is my response. Fake president.
fake president. There. Easy. Simple. Quick. Effective.
Looks like, by the way, the Weinstein fallout is getting bigger and bigger, man. I mean,
I never thought that kind of thing would be attributed to a guy who's less attractive than Steve Bannon.
Well, yeah, I mean, right, and they both have the same shaving technique, which is
pockmarked face, just
1968
years of
Bob Dylan
abuse, this looks like a festering wound that formed into a human.
Well, it's like they shave every day, but by noon there's a growth of some sort.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I don't think those growths aren't whiskers. I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think you got a point there. I mean, they're trying to look like Bob Dylan in 1969, okay?
I don't know.
It's not working, though, you know?
I think maybe you should change your look.
By the way, here at the Enlightened Radio,
I'm taking away half of ransom.
I have, we've gotten some great, tapes that fell off the back of somebody's truck at Columbia Broadcasting of recording sessions from like Blood on the Tracks, Desire, and actually going all the way back to Freewheeling. Unbelievable.
Hey, listen, John, that truck.
All
I'm saying is sometimes, you know, things fall off the back of trucks and, you know.
Yeah, like,
well, you know, the guy comes up, you know, what are you going to do?
I know, man.
You know, stuff's laying in the street, you know, you're going to pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know, someone came in the other day to the cafe and ordered a leg of lamb. Well, you know, there was Mary Lamb walking down the road over there.
I'm just saying.
So I sent out the doctor, and sure enough, he brought me a leg of lamb.
Occasionally, people fall down steps all the time. You know, accidents happen. This will be the case. Moving forward, I'm just saying. Occasionally, you know, there's a set of steps. People fall down, you know. Have a hard time getting back up. All we do is come in and help them get up. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's a good idea. I mean, is there any chance?
Bada bing, bada boom. You know what I'm saying?
Bada bing. Hey,
bada bing, bada boom.
You know, you could send this message of solicitation and help, accident insurance, to the entire cabinet.
Hey, I was talking to Tommy Tutos the other day, right?
Right, he's the secretary of what now?
None of your friggin' business.
Oh, that's right? Exactly. Secretary of none of your friggin' business. It's an important department.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow. Our character, of which we do not mention, is on the air. That's his name now. That guy's name.
Yes,
the character we do not mention. When that guy shows up,
I know.
You know, people disappear.
It's a short conversation, right? I know.
Yes, it's very, very short, and there's a large car with a big trunk and
a couple of layers in it. You know, you might have a couple of stops that morning. Yeah.
There's a few stops, and you know, hey, look, somebody's got to be in, you know, recycling.
Right.
Somebody's got to run the trash department. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, it's time for Jason. I think the left needs Jason Statham, you know, or one of those other guys, you know, to come along and take care of some business here with.
Liam Neeson.
Him too. Get him.
I have a particular set of skills.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We need somebody like that can, you know, defy the entire French government or some comparable thing, you know. So
I don't know about that, John. I just, you know, there isn't going to be any, you know, the heroes among us will be, I think, the active working class.
I hope so.
I think in combination, in concert with like-minded people who believe in some of the things we believe in. Now, there certainly is a, again, I'm going to mention it again, I want to get this book by a Columbia University professor who wrote a 7-point plan about how to lock down America's future in terms of how to create a clean energy grid, how to move forward away from fossil fuel extraction, how to create better better jobs, raise minimum wage, and how to pay for, how to not only create single payer, but how to pay for it.
But we need a attitude adjustment
and
amongst the billionaires.
Well, the other thing is he's essentially said this is not, you know, he's not saying he wants to be. He wants this platform to be adopted and be similar to what Grover Norquist did on the other side. And you got to give the guy a lot of credit because, you know, they're doing exactly, they continue to do exactly what he has, you know, run his skeevy little mouth about.
Let me ask you a question, you know, though.
And if I saw Grover Norquist, I would be hell-bent on not giving him a headbutt right in his nose to break it.
Oh, I mean, come on. I mean, that's my that is my question, okay? I mean, what is it going to take to get the attitude adjustment amongst the billionaires, because they've bought the political system. I mean, for example, given the level of low popularity of Trump nationwide, suppose we come out of the 2018 cycle and the Republicans still have a majority, or at the worst that happens, they go back to where they were under Obama in a sense, and we at least have one house that can say no or something like that, you know. And it sort of it sits there in the mud again, you know, for another 10 years. My question is, what do we have to do to knock this thing? I mean, what do we do? Something's got to be done to the billionaires. I'm afraid we need to have some show trials. I really am.
But I'm hesitating to say the Inquisition. Wow, what is it?
Well, okay, you know, I mean, how do you convince a bunch of billionaires whose entire mentality has nothing to do with yours, you know, that they should reform and support a social democratic regime?
I don't want to pay for that.
Well, yeah. So then you have to. So here's the thing. Now, Joseph Stalin, and Hitler, and some other people, you know, and well, actually, to be truthful, you know, the leaders of most revolutions come along, and what they do is they take out and they execute the first 10, and then they start the negotiations. Well, okay.
But I do think, one of the things that I said to my wife, and we were kind of, occasionally we'll slip and watch the idiot speak, but now, twice in the last 2 days, finally, this president has been confronted by reporters on his bullshit.
Well, that's good.
Once it was, how can you say that with regards to him throwing Obama and every other president under the bus about the way they communicate with Gold Star families? You know, he reverted right back to, well, you know, so I don't know if that's true, but some people have said to me. And then he used his chief of staff's son's death in war as a political football.
Yeah, right, John Kelly.
Of which John Kelly would not respond. Okay, that's, but when you see him backpedal, you see the same asshat that was on David Letterman some years ago trying to promote Trump ties.
Ties.
Neckties.
Yeah. I need one of
those. And when Letterman goes, let's see, where are these, and he says, oh, made in China. Perfect. And Letterman just kind of looked at him.
By the way.
And then you see this smirking, cowering, smirking con artist that he really is come out. And that's what you've seen when he's backpedaled.
Yes.
When he talks about, he was confronted about running his mouth about the corporate tax rate. The reporter said, that's not necessarily true, Mr. President. And he said, well, some people, you know, I've actually, so thank you very much, goodbye.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it's you know, bombastic and lie constantly.
Gaslighting.
Continues to be gaslighting every moment of every day, every opportunity. The problem is the only thing this idiot gives a shit about is you and I continuing to talk about it. He doesn't care if it's positive or negative. He doesn't give a shit. That's the real problem.
And not only does he not give a shit, he doesn't understand. He doesn't, and nor does he care to understand. And that's the basic problem. There is no sympathy. There is no empathy. Hell, there's only cruelty. That's it.
Well, you know, everyone's going to, you know, if you ain't on his side, you're going to be treated like Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch this session of Congress and what is actually, you know, you have congressional Democrats being approached. Now, it's not a majority, but there are a minority of Republicans coming to them and saying, I don't know. Throwing their hands in the air and saying, I don't know what he's talking about, man. You know, and generally, when he kicks in his wonderfully honed improvisational skills, John.
Right.
Everything goes to shit.
you got it, man.
Hey, by the way, everybody, we're coming up on the top of the hour, 7 a.m.
By the way, let me...
18th. And let me just say this, start off the morning by saying really quickly, before we get to another subject, Patience, happy birthday. I love you, honey.
Oh my gosh. Really?
Yep.
Oh, it's her birthday. Oh my God. I tell her that, you know, at 40, I started counting backwards, and I'm going to be 9. Pretty soon, and I want you to tell. I want to tell you something, Mike. That this is important information. You're younger than me. You know, is that going through puberty twice is really weird.
It's the strangest thing. Well, I just I'm really looking forward to fifth grade. I really. I understand the teacher's really cool.
Yeah. So. Well, okay. Yeah. So you know,
not that the fourth grade teacher was bad.
I know. My third grade teacher did not like me.
My fifth grade teacher, and for the life of me, I'm struggling. I have to do some research on what his name was because I always forget. Because I'm very forgetful. It could have something to do with the concussions.
Yes.
But he was absolutely he was the best teacher I ever had. He made school for me. He made school fun. He was
one of the only
teachers I met that I knew that school was just, you looked forward to going to school. You look forward to it. You look forward to doing your homework. If you missed, you know, and something happened at home, he always expressed an interest in saying, look, just if something happens at home and you're unable to, you know, put all the time you want into an assignment, let me know. And he had no problem saying, okay, we're going to have, it looks like we have an inordinate amount of students that had a little bit of trouble with the assignment. Let's go ahead and have study hall right now, and we'll take a look at where we're at.
Yeah, right. So he read the class pretty well. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a real.
Well, he was paying attention. Yeah, right.
Right, right. I mean, he knew his students. It was one of those, you know, it's like you remember people who were good coaches, you know, leaders, people you could approach and talk to, that were just, you know, that understood and they knew who needed to be a little bit, you know, stronger with. Or
you remember the
stronger, a little bit more forceful. With, because you knew that kid would try to manipulate and get away with things.
You remember the movie about the teacher in L.A., that Latino guy, I can't remember his name right now, but he got his kids to got the advanced placement test, you know.
I think Jaime, they made that into a movie.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
It was
where he was played by Edward James Olmos.
Yes, that's the movie. That's the movie. Yeah, you know, and anyway, we actually met him one time. That guy. Okay, I mean, he was a speaker at our convention one time, and he was when we had the union convention in Los Angeles, and he came, and he was really had a very interesting thing about how just engagement of the students on a personal level, you know, would just make it so much easier, you know, to overcome the obstacles on their way to learning, you know, as you got into, you know, sometimes difficult concepts, right? And so it wasn't just his skill, it wasn't just teaching, knowing the subject, right? You know, although he said that was really important. He said he had a big problem with in high school teachers who teach math who don't understand calculus.
Right. I mean,
seriously. I mean, it was a surprise to me, but yeah.
Well, I could not teach math. I don't understand it. I've never grasped the concept. I had to take pre-algebra twice.
Functional analysis.
I didn't have that until I started to work in defense contracting.
You got a little more of it there, huh? Because you had to use the computer more.
It was more of an applied science. It was more practical application of mathematics. It was more, you know, coding and programming. It was more, you know, Artemis and
well, I mean, programming is math. It really is. I mean, it's like
it is without a doubt. Coding is math.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. It does not suffer error.
And, you know, as they have always said, garbage in, garbage out. You know,
guys, I used to teach a little bit in a community college on computer science, and
you were probably well versed in COBOL, right?
No, I came after. I know a little bit of COBOL, but because I had to translate COBOL into Java, you know, on one of the jobs I had.
Oh,
so,
I get that.
But I was not a COBOL program. You know, back in the day, that and a number of the other older languages, they wanted to translate into newer ones that could be then webified.
Well, that's
right,
what happens, you know, when you have 2GL. The 3GL, the 4GL, to
All of a sudden, every program had to be a web app at a certain point, practically.
Right.
I mean, and then okay, well, to do that, you got to get applications that have networking libraries in them, and you know, the old COBOL ones had very few, frankly. You know,
right.
So anyway, and
That was just hardline programming for a PC.
Yeah, well, went through different.
Onto nothing that was going to be interactive over the net.
Well, but keep in mind, as computers got more and more interesting, you know, and as programs, people wanted programs to do more and more things, okay, and respond more with a friendlier interfaces, right, to people who were not, so that you didn't have to be a computer expert to use the thing, right? And that resulted in the creation of computer languages that encapsulated and buried a lot of low level machine programming, okay, into higher level, you know, objects and functions that were more suitable for, I just want to build a application that's got a database in it. It's going to show me the prices of all the stuff in Target or something like that. You know,
right? You started down to suitable for mass consumption.
Yeah, right. I mean, you want or something that an employees of Target can use. Okay.
They can go in and they understand that this field generates that information, and this field, you know, goes into that information.
And here's how I find
but
out
even that.
Yeah, right.
Even that becomes limited.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, and you say, well, how do I find how many tomatoes I got left? You know, whatever.
I just look on my counter.
You know, and so rather than type anything, now the latest version of the application, you have it on your cell phone, and you just tap tomato, and
can you hold on a second?
Up it comes.
All right, no, we're good. I have three left. I'm good.
All right, good. You have three. Whoa,
tomatoes.
Three tomatoes left. Okay.
Three good quality tomatoes left.
I want to talk a little bit about China, man, because there's something going on here with this guy Xi. This is serious. He has taken control of the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
in a way that nobody has done since Deng Xiaoping, you know, and he is cleaning house.
Yep.
I mean, apparently the level of corruption, this is the problem I have with one-party states, okay, is that, you know, first of all, it ceases to be a political party and becomes part of the state. I mean, how can it be otherwise if there's only one party, frankly?
Okay? Right. You know? Right. I mean, it's just that they're intertwined.
Well, yeah, and so whatever is deliberated at the party level, it is immediately basically translated into the state. I mean, it's into the functionaries of the state, right? I mean, all the key positions anyway. So they have, but that just leads around the country because, you know, life has to go on in cities and towns and counties and whatever. You have to administrate roads and services and schools and whatever.
Right, and you've had a mass migration.
And you ended up with a pay-to-play, you know, corruption invitation.
Right, because you've had a mass migration.
Countryside to cities.
Or you're pointing towards a mass migration of moving your farming and agriculture
right.
into these cities that you've built.
Yeah.
And you have, you know, as we have seen and as we have talked about, you have whole cities in China that are unpopulated.
So, but I find this guy Xi's way of expressing himself very interesting. I read something by him about 6 months ago that I found pretty interesting, and I don't remember. I don't have that in front of me. But for example, this is the way he opened the whole thing. He says, "Our country and the entire world are undergoing deep and complicated changes. And our country is in an important period of strategic opportunity in its development. Quote, the outlook is extremely bright, but the challenges are extremely grim."
Yeah.
I thought that's a pretty well interesting, you know,
phrase. It's a very effective phrase.
It sort of gets it right a little bit, you know. I thought that was...
It's elevated. It's a very elevated phrase.
And, you know, I so far, I think he's been an interesting fella, you know, that... I'm curious about what he's doing.
He used one of those throwback words that people don't use much anymore.
Oh, fella?
Yeah, you went into a Jimmy Stewart kind of, well, you're certainly an interesting fellow.
Yes, yeah, right.
You're certainly an interesting fellow. Say Harvey.
Yeah, I know.
Why,
I know,
why
man.
Are you so mad?
Well, that's, Harvey was my mentor, okay?
I applaud your use of, later on, we're going to be talking about who's the bee's knees this week.
Who's the bee's knees? Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad this guy
wanted me to go. It hearkened me to go right into my, you know. Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America.
Yeah. I know. Well, but here's the thing about Xi that I wanted to say one little more line about it. That gets me a bit, and that is that here, this guy, when I read him, you know, he sounds like a very, very smart and thoughtful dude, okay?
Yep.
Whereas the President of the United States, you know, needs a playpen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and is a garbage mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And gaslights all the time. I mean, you know, there's no, you know, meaningful information conveyed ever, except just garbage, diversion.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that strikes me as so weird. Okay, that the president of China, or whatever his title ends up being, and the president of the United States, I mean, characterize those two leaders. And what does it say about what's going on in the world now? That, I mean, you could go back.
One has an incredible grasp on international economic functions. one has an incredible grasp on the interior and exterior of his country and how it works. One has a loyalty and patriotism to his country. One is well, very, very well educated and soft-spoken, and has tried to change his party from within and believes that he actually should do some things in his country to help his people. And the other one is an orange shit stain.
There you go. I think you've just, you know, it's like Ho Chi Minh used to say.
It's not that I'm not going to prop up in my mind and support, you know, the president of China over we could have and be.
Yeah, exactly. No, I understand. I mean, I understand what
you're
saying.
Because I still have to believe in the ideal.
Me too.
Of our democracy, of our
right.
More of a, you know, our social safety net and our social democracy. But I'm not. When you have a former vice president come out and say in a bipartisan celebration with John Kasich sitting next to him that 14 leaders have contacted him with great concern about who your president is, you got some problems.
No, I mean, how could anybody, it's hard to see how this thing's going to go forward. And they're going to rape us with the tax bill. It looks to me like they're going to get it done.
They might.
And well, because they have Susan Collins is going to break it again. It'll be the last one. I don't. She's going to get primaried herself. She knows that already.
I don't. I'm not going to keep. I don't think you. I think you make a mistake by continuing. I think when you talk about primary on that side, I think the easy mistake is to say, well, whoever's being primary is going to lose.
What I'm saying is
there is still a very strong establishment. I mean, right now, Flake is going to be primaried by a woman who believes that she was abducted by aliens of Jesus.
She was. She was. I have interviewed her. I'm going to get her on the program here. She's going to come to the cafe next week. And,
I was abducted by a really, really good acid trip. I was.
Okay. Well, I think you should be interviewing her, you know, when she comes on. Don't be surprised if she has a deep voice.
I slipped into a world within a world, John.
I know, man. I know there.
There was orcs to the left of me.
Oh, no, orcs to the left.
Dwarfs to the right of me. Here I am stuck in the middle with an elf. What?
An elf. Elves.
Elven magic.
Elven magic. They're light-footed, you know, those guys.
Yes. Yeah, well, they also happen to be, you know, they're a little bit like the Highlander.
Well, you know,
they
sort of
forever.
Very, very long, you know, and they have a strange language that's very quite musical, I understand, you know, but...
What's the matter? Yeah! Talking and breathing, and last night, all but a corpse. How'd you manage that, Connor McLeod?
Right.
He's in league with Lucifer!
Don't say that, Kate. I'll say it. Connor McLeod was my kinsman. I don't know who you are.
Oh, that's terrible. I know, I remember that's a tough line. That's a tough moment. You know, everybody has a bad day.
There'll be no burning here today. We'll banish him! I'm sorry, I am stuck on a Highlander theme this morning.
Well, I mean, we're looking...
And moreover, John, honestly, it's more of a tribute to my dad, my late father, because he watched the TV show.
I'm sure your father would never set foot in the Moose Turd Cafe, but...
Actually, he probably would.
Oh, he
would. Yeah, oh, yeah, he would. He had a very dry Welsh type twisted cop sense of humor.
All right. Well, we might need that. I think we're looking for leadership. This is what that's partly of the Highlander in us. We're looking for the Highlander in us. Come on, someone that can
find
rise above
Highlander.
It.
Highlander, save the world.
Well, okay. I mean, symbolically, we take these journeys, right? I mean, in our imagination. And
I wish you could cue up Princes of the Universe by Queen.
I don't actually have that one on the
We're the princes of the universe. I have inside me blood of kings. I am immortal.
I have vampire.
No man can be my equal. Sorry.
I have Vampire Weekend, but you know, I don't. That's a little different. Okay, so
that is
typically very Canadian in there.
By the way, John, I have a question.
What's that, honey?
When the sky is falling,
yes.
What does Chicken Little do?
He crosses the road.
Chicken Little, the sky is falling. The sky is falling.
I know it is.
Yeah,
falling.
Yeah. Blah blah blah. Oh, look, it is.
Well, that's true. The sky is always falling, and you know, we're always going round and round and hurtling through space at some ungodly absolute speed, and you know, going around the sun, and the sun doing whatever it's doing, hopefully not turning into that neutron star.
By the way, there was a horrible story, and I hate it when the internet does this. There was a meme going around that Morgan Freeman had passed away.
I think I saw that. I figured that was stupid, you know.
Scared me for a moment when I read it, and I was like, oh, come on.
That was put out by an outfit that does that, okay? They
lie and come out and say somebody's passed.
Well, yeah, it's somebody they don't like, okay? That was put out by an outfit that's that thinks that Morgan Freeman is like a Bill Cosby force.
My friend John Case crawled through miles of programming language to ultimately achieve his outcome.
It's a black box.
He found it and moved on with his life.
That's right.
And was able to retire with a reasonable income.
That's true. Well, I mean,
however,
I'm blessed.
That is not an opportunity that people have today.
No, it's not.
Come with me. I'm Morgan Freeman. And let's look and find the face of God. I thought you were the face of God.
I know. I want Morgan to be president. I thought he was, when he was president, when the asteroid hit us, I thought that was really...
Oh, yeah, that was, was it Taylor Leone that was in that? The Contact?
No, this is not.
I can't remember because there was a couple different ones.
This was in the Deep Impact, I think it was called, or something like that.
Deep Impact. That was it. Yeah, Taylor Leone. She thought he was having an affair with Ellie.
That's right.
Ellie meant extinction level event.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yes, he's having an affair with Ellie. Oh, God. Oh, you know.
Actually stood on the beach and held her father's hand when
the. I know, when the wave came.
When the wave came and killed them both. And,
well, not everybody survived.
No. No. Our propensity as human beings is to be ultimately, unfortunately, very, very self-involved. Very narrow-minded and self-involved, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you know, but that's sort of genetically built in, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, you're the organism, and you're responsible for yourself, even though you're find yourself in a very social environment, you know. But then you have to adapt, right?
Well, I don't know that the other part of that is. I don't know that burying your face in a screen constantly is any. I think we're going to have to go to teaching children in public school social interaction. Because some of the subtlety of human communication is being lost. Because when someone is sitting next to someone else and they text them, rather than turn and speak with them.
So you're saying that the kind of conversations that can be had today is not going to be at the level of Jane Austen or something?
I don't know, but it's certainly something to look for a concern in.
Yeah,
the ability to communicate as a human being may not be completely compromised, but I think if you hand a child at the age of three a screen and that's what they look at, you know, they're going to be very good at manipulating the internet, doing what they want to do, because they're programmed, they're hardwired into it. Bam, that's it. Now it is up to us, I guess, as responsible citizens, to ensure that that child can do that, but also can say please and thank you. You know, and I'm not saying you have to say yes, sir, and no, sir, but just being generally polite and respectful.
I think civility.
Around you.
Yes,
yeah,
right.
Civility is,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That was the word I was struggling for. Thank you, John. Thanks.
But I mean, I think that's. But you're right. I mean, in other words, there's a certain amount of. For example, people use the expression a lot of 50-50. All right. In other words, you do your half, I do my half, type of thing. But 50% looks differently to. Any two people that are paired in any kind of cooperation at all, the 50% looks different to each of them. In order for you to get to the other person's perception of 50%, you have to do what you think is 60. And the other person has to do the same. Because there's right. This internal bias when we do these even Steven, you know, what we think is fair, right? There's always a kind of correction you sort of need to do if you really want to calibrate your reactions in a way that gets the response that you think you should get. You know, like when you propose something fair, does the other person actually react like, oh, is that what you thought was fair? You know, that kind of thing, right? I don't know. That's just a thought.
Right. You're right. You're right. And I think sometimes that's genetically programmed. That we, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. You got to train yourself, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we want to. Everyone tells themselves that they want to be fair. But right. In the end, they also would like to win. In their mind, deep in the recesses of their mind. But, you know, you also have to kind of redefine what a compromise looks like to a certain extent.
True. That's true. Okay, that is, I mean, I think, you know, in one sense, half of life could be described as trying to determine a good versus a bad compromise. I mean, you see it goes all the way to the top, right? I mean, you know, I mean, well, sometimes you make it, you know, you sign on and implicitly or explicitly to some deal and you go along with it and you're okay. And then finally, you know, you start to notice a little, you know, possible faults in the deal, okay, possible holes, et cetera. And, you know, and then then you start to think it later, maybe it's not a good deal.
Yeah.
And
I thought about this deal all wrong. We need to come back to the table and renegotiate what
right.
I already agreed to 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, well, then there's, yeah, right, there's that.
I'm not certain this is going to work out for me.
Anymore.
Yeah. No. I
know I said sure. that yesterday, but not today. Yeah.
Yeah, we were all about that. But it's so yesterday. What we agreed to was so yesterday. Come on, step it up. What we agreed to was so this morning, John. It was minutes ago.
Yeah, it was.
Talking about. I don't know where I was going with that. Let's just move on and give it all to me.
All right.
I mean, again, that has to do with instinct. But I think also, too, in a certain extent, we talked about this before, is the successful group dynamic.
Uh-huh.
And groups of like-minded people working together for to achieve a like-minded goal, and of certainly different backgrounds, races, creeds, colors, sexuality, whatever it is, I think that's important to teach that we can all work together to get something done. To lose sight of that, I think we lose sight of ourselves.
By the way, the drug czar nominee that was basically an opium pusher, Has been withdrawn. Has withdrawn his name from consideration.
Withdrawn his name. By the way, everybody, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, 7:30 a.m. on October 18th here at the Moose Turd Cafe. Hey, get you some because the rest of the day will be nothing but up from here. And your original Dusty Putin philosopher host, Mr. John Kasin, is sometime multiple personality sidekick, Mr. I forget his name.
Mike Diesel. You know, so Tom Marino, he was the guy. We're going to have him in the cafe here, cooking up some medicine for you here that makes you. Now, one of the great things about opium is that, you know, once you leave the cafe and swallow a yummy, good slice of moose turd pie, well, then you can go through the rest of the day with some opium.
Yeah, that's a
perhaps, you know, and then I want to tell you, man, the rest of the day will be just fine.
I got me a feel-good slice.
Oh, ooh. That's right, man. Try some of this, I call it H salt here on it, you know. Try some of that. You know, heroin salt. And thank you, Mr. Marino, for that contribution to the cafe. Oh, my God, it's the governor.
Jesus. I want to say something about Mr. Marino. He's a good man. He's trying to do a deal with some people. I think maybe he's confusing his fake news and the bad media. Don't take their license away, because I done did it.
Oh, God. Now, call the doctor. Where is Dr. McGill? We got to go. Wait. Oh, Jesus. Oh, help. God, another log in the pool, huh?
I just had to throw up some eggs. I got demon eggs.
That wasn't like the dog log of yesterday, was it?
Now, you just stop and settle down there, Mr. K. You're always insulting me for what.
Well, you are.
Hold on. I got to get up this
man, you know, you're like one of those whoopee cushions.
There's a bad gout in the bad leg. I gotta get up.
Oh, God, the gout again. Oh, no. You know, we got to change the name of gout to get out. Get out. Oh, God, get out of office. Lord, how can you do this? To us.
He just fell down.
Oh, he's gone. Oh, God, Lord of mercy. Hey, Trump is going to declare the opioid epidemic a national emergency, but you watch out with this, by the way, because you know what he proposes to do about the opioid emergency.
Excuse to arrest poor
black
people.
Yeah, right.
And people
dope smokers and whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And
Well, let me tell you. We're gonna get after these people because they're evil. Let me just say.
I bet George doesn't even think that. I bet George is.
This is your attorney general, and I got things that I know what I'm doing.
Marijuana
is evil. Marijuana is terrible.
Well, what did I do? I saw you over there on Willie's bus. What the hell are you talking about?
I got to leave now because there's some underprivileged folks I got to arrest. Bye.
Okay.
Wow.
Lord.
That was like. Came in on his little Barbie dream truck and.
Remember when he did that? That was his photo op, right?
Yeah. Jeff Sessions.
He reminds me of that. We had a great liberal delegate up there in Springfield, Vermont, that was came from a millionaire family. And every time he came into the Union Hall, he had a brand new pair of jeans on. Brand new pair of jeans. But he had kneeled down in his kid's sandbox. So that looked like he'd actually done some labor. So he would look like, you know, and he used to come in. I used to tell him, you know, you don't need to do that.
Just wear some. Settle down.
The business agent who was one of the toughest old birds I ever knew. He used to see that guy come in and he'd go out. He'd laugh for a half hour, you know, about the.
Yeah. Yeah, let me see the X-rays. Let me see the ultrasound. Let me see the broken limbs
and
the broken limbs that have been broken for so many years. They've healed wrong, but you still got to go to work because you can't afford to fix the goddamn thing. Let me see that.
Yeah.
Let me see some of that. Let me see the hand that. Let me see the hand that's compromised and broken, but you still have to use it.
Yeah,
and it's been broken so long, present company included, that it's rehealed, and there's just a big knot on top of the hand.
I use it as a club.
You know you need corrective surgery. You know you do, but you can't afford it.
Well, in the union shop, you could. Yeah, in our union shops, you could afford the surgery.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying.
Then we had 100% coverage, man. Those shops are all gone.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed. That's
why there's all these abortions going on, according to the president. Just because the shops are gone. Yeah, we're going to bring it back. Yeah, bull.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, this guy's got to go.
Orange stain lie.
All right, well, we're right there, buddy.
Okay, man.
Once again, the cafe has exposed the underside. By the way,
if you're out there and you can help, there's a lot of displaced dogs and cats across the country. Try to help as much as you can.
Right. Okay, man. And make sure to bring the dog droppings into the back of the cafe because we have a
right.
We have a use for them.
We can always add them to the Moose Turd Cafe.
That's right, man.
Moose Turd.
Hold on
1 second. I think somebody has something to say.
Yes. What?
Occasionally, I like to take other turds and mix them. It makes your moose turd go a long way.
Oh, yes. I see. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right,
bud. Thanks, man. Thank you very much for doing today. Take care, pal.
You got it. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care of each other. It's late, but everything comes next. And we're going to cut off the tape here at this point. And...